Y'all doing good? Hey, this is these new three services is awesome. So I get two times of practice, and so this sermon should be good, right? Man, it should be good. I'm excited for this message today, and you all are in trouble. I just realized it. One of the teenagers came up to me and said, "Pastor Travis, you are preaching hard," because I just realized it's been 3 weeks since I preached, so you guys are in trouble, because I'm coming with everything I got for the last 3 weeks, everything. I want you to open up your Bibles to Exodus chapter 6 this morning. We want to look at a promise that we've heard earlier today in our worship time together that we're going to look at again. And I'm excited because I believe that this message is for all of us. And, you know, particular Sundays, you know, certain messages are for certain people and certain seasons of their lives. But no matter what season you are in your life today, no matter if you are just discovering God and you may not even be a Christian yet, or you could be a Christian for over 40 years, this message applies to you. So I'm excited about it. I want to read Exodus chapter 6 and look at these couple of verses together, and then we're going to pray and we'll get started. Let's read this together. It says, "Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And I will bring you out of the from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will free you from being slaves to them." I want to read that again. It says, "I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment, and I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for who you are. Lord, we pray that you may touch us today. Lord, we pray that we may leave here a little bit different, a little bit closer to you, Lord, a little bit freer. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in a four-week series talking about life together, and we're looking at this particular passage of Scripture, and we're really looking at these particular Scriptures, and there are promises that God gave the Israelites as he was taking them out of Egypt. And we're all familiar with the story that Moses led the Israelites out of the bondage of Egypt and through the Red Sea into the wilderness, into the promised land. And their ultimate destination was the promised land, right? And they were supposed to be going to this place that's going to be, their life is going to be fulfilled, that they're going to inherit all the things that God had for their lives. And so what we get from that particular thought is that God has a particular destination for our lives in this life. And we have not gotten there yet. Right? Right? God has always taken us to a place. He's taken us to a place, a mindset, and not just a physical location, but a mental location and a spiritual location. He's always trying to take us there. And so what he does is that he gives us four promises that he commits to us to get us there. And so I'm excited for this particular promise we're going to look at today, because I believe it's a promise that we all miss out on at times. We're going to talk about deliverance today. When we talk about deliverance, a lot of people get scared, because when I was growing up, like, deliverance, the word deliverance was only for a person who had all these demons inside of them. And I was afraid. I used to be afraid of the word deliverance. Oh, snap, demons. You know, I was afraid. And then I began to realize that deliverance / freedom, they're the same words. And literally, God wants me to experience deliverance. God wants me to experience freedom every day of my life. And so God's going to show us that today in this particular passage of Scripture. And here's another reason why I think we all should do it. In fact, I want to do this exercise with you to convince you that you need this sermon. So could you all close your eyes for the next 30 seconds? I want to ask you I'm going to make a statement to you. And as your eyes are closed, I want to make this statement to you. You need freedom or deliverance if what you want to do does not always match with what you ought to do. What you want to do, I want to ask you this question. Do what you want to do matches what you ought to do at all times of your life? When you, in your marriages, your jobs, with your spouses, your relationships, when you're in a room by yourself and behind a computer, when you're alone. Does what you want to do matches what you ought to do? You can open your eyes. And if you're like me, man, that doesn't happen all the time. If you're like me, like, there's many times I'm just doing it because I'm supposed to be doing it. Or like me, I just don't do it. Right? Or if you're like me, it's like, I mean, there are times in my life where I just have to love these kids and they're just screaming and yelling and they don't stop. Right? And so oftentimes we find ourselves in situations that what we want to do don't always match what we ought to do. But if that's you, if you're like me this morning, then we are in the same pool and we need more freedom. We need more deliverance in our lives. And so what God tells the Israelites is, hey, I want to bring you out of Egypt. But the second promise is God bringing Egypt out of you. And so in this particular passage of Scripture, I love how it starts off. It starts off by saying, right, the first promise, therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out. I love it. Because he starts off by saying, it doesn't matter how your situation may look. It doesn't matter if you've been a slave for over 400 years and your great-grandparents were slaves and all you know what it is to be a slave, that's all you think is slave. It doesn't even matter because I have the power to bring you out. And I just hope that you can relate to that subject today or relate to that God today, that there's no situation that God can't bring you out of. He's always trying to bring you out. So he says to him, hey, I'm going to bring you out. And when I bring you out, I'm going to make sure that you are not acting like the Egyptians. You're not living like a slave. I'm going to make sure that you're free today. That's what I'm going to do when I bring you out. So he gives them these promises. I want to look at these promises together because here's a great thing about a promise. A promise is an offer with a guaranteed result. God is saying, hey, here's my offer to you, and here's my guaranteed result I'm going to give you with this promise, right? And I just love it because God speaks to us through promises, and God has over 7,000 promises inside the Scriptures. But all those 7,000 can be really narrowed down to these four promises that we're going to be looking at in this series. And I just want you to be encouraged today because a lot of times we feel like, man, God's promises ain't working for my life. And nope, you don't know my situation, Pastor Travis. Well, I got a word for that. And it's in Joshua chapter 21, verse 45. It says this, not one of the Lord's good promises has ever failed. Every one of them was fulfilled. And that's awesome. And your situation may not look like it's going to be fulfilled. It may not seem like it. But I want to encourage you this morning that God's word and his promises is going to be fulfilled in your life. And I love this next scripture found in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. It says, when God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave you his word. A rock solid guarantee. And God cannot break his word. So what he does is that he puts his name on the line. He says, you know what? I'm not just going to speak the promises to you through the preacher, but I'm going to put it inside the Scriptures so that you can always go back and say, oh, God, remember that? Remember you said that you're going to free me? You remember you said that when I was struggling with my sin and my addictions, you're going to free me? You're going to touch my marriage? You're going to touch my life? Yeah. God says, I'm going to give you my word. I'm going to put my name on the line. Because here's the deal, he's going to fulfill all his promises to you. And so he gives us these four promises in this scripture. I want to read them to you. I want to give them to you, these four promises. The first one is this, I will bring you out. We're talking about salvation. He is saying, hey, we just got to get them out of Egypt. We just got to get you out of there. Get you from being slaves. You used to be told when to eat, when to sleep, and when to work, and when to build. Hey, I just need to get you out of that bondage of the Egyptians. It's talking about salvation. Second promise is that we're going to talk about today is I will free you, meaning this, hey, not only will I just get you out of there, not only will I save you, but I will deliver you from the effects of sin, the how sin kind of just hangs out with you. It don't go anywhere, right? Number three, I will redeem you, talking about purpose. Man, I love this. Pastor Sean's going to speak on this next week because I believe this. The two most important days of your life is not the day that you were born and the day you die, but the day you were born and the day you realize why you were born. And I just believe next week, hey, you want to invite some friends to come out there? Because that's going to be powerful. And the week after that, we're going to be looking at, hey, I will make you my people. Talking about significance, talking about your identity with him. He will make you. He's going to create in you a people so you can make a difference in this world. So these are the four promises that we have. And remember, when I say these promises, just remember that God says that none of his promises are going to not be fulfilled in our lives. And so, you know, some of you may feel like, hey, man, it's impossible for me to get saved. Hey, you don't know my background. You don't know what's going on in my life. You don't know what I'm struggling with. God says, hey, I can bring you out. And some of you may be like in here, Pastor Travis, I'm a Christian in here, but you don't know the struggles that I have. You know, that sin addiction that I have, that addiction that no one knows about. God says, I want to promise you today that I can free you. I can set you free. I can deliver you. I can free you today. So I'm excited about it, right? I want to read to you this particular passage of Scripture because, man, Paul, man, I can relate to Paul because man, Paul says this. So I find this law at work. Paul says, although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For my inner being, I delight in God's law. Here's what he's saying. Man, Pastor Travis, I'm trying. I'm coming to church, and I'm a Christian. God has saved me, but I'm still struggling. So here's what he says in verse 23. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner to the law of sin at work within me. Here's what he's saying. Hey, I'm saved. Like you experienced promise one that we talked about last week. You experienced salvation. And a lot of you are here, have made that decision to follow Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But God says, I'm not just down there. And sometimes, and many times in the church today, we just stop at salvation. God says, I got more for you. I want to deliver you. I want to make sure you're set free. And so he wants to set you free because Paul is like a lot of us, man, he's saved, but he's still got this war going on. Love what he says. He says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me. You hear that word again? Who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what I want to do, I want to separate clearly promise one and promise two because we all know about salvation. Hear about it every week. I want to separate it because there's a unique separation of these promises, right? I got to tell you about a couple weeks ago, I was speaking at this conference, right, with just hundreds of students there. And the first night, I just preached a sermon, and, like, I just told the students, hey, if you want to be saved today, you just got to believe in God. So literally, I said, all you got to do is believe. All you got to do is believe. Come to the front and believe, and you'll be saved. Like, your life be changed. Lots of people came to the altar. I mean, it was awesome. We prayed for people. Now, after the service, you know, some of the religious people came to me afterwards. Like, hey, I'm a little upset at your sermon. I said, why? He said, because you made salvation seem so easy. You made it seem so free. I said, yeah, it is. right? I like what Ephesians 2:8 says this. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believe. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift of God. So what God wants to do, he wants to separate promise one and promise two because promise one is all about your salvation. It's all about you believing. The Israelites didn't have to work at getting set free. They just had to walk in the freedom. They just had to walk in it. But I love this because here's what promise two is really all about. I want to read through the scripture. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. It says this, now work hard to show the results of your salvation. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. And here's what I mean by that. Promise one is all about this, right? Hey, you were saved by grace. Man, God brought you out of Egypt. He set you free. But promise two is by getting you walking out, you working at it. You got to put some work to this thing. You thought that was it, that you just made that decision and you want to follow God. But God says, hey, I need you to work out. I need you to put in some work into the results of your salvation. You can walk in that freedom that God has for your life. So that's promise two. Promise two is all about you walking in the freedom that God has for your life. And honestly, the reason why I'm preaching with so much passion this morning, because I just know so many Christians that's just not walking in freedom. You know, a modern day illustration that I can use is a couple weeks ago, I was reading an article on the American prison system, right? We all know the tragedy of our prison system. Like we imprison the most people in the world, and literally the country that's right behind us doesn't even come close to our prison system. And so I was reading this article, and it says, why is that the case? And it says that if you spend at least 4 years or more in prison, you have a 72% chance that you're going to go back into prison. Here's why. It's that dynamic that although we've been set free from prison, prison is all in us, and it's all we know. It's all we do. So we end up finding ourselves right back in Egypt, the very place that God set us free. And here's why this breaks God's heart. Because he has a promised land for you. He says, I need you to get through these promises so I can get you to the place that I want you to be. I want to free you today. And some of you may have come in here with struggles and addictions and all types of wounds and issues in your life. God says, I want to set you free today. He wants to see a new work that's happening in your life. And honestly, I just hope that this is the case for your life, that you walk in freedom, right? And so I want to kind of give you the difference between what happens in salvation and what happens in deliverance, right? When we're triune beings, right? We're made up of three parts. We got the physical body, our body, right? Like the physical. Then we got our soul, which is our mind, our will, our emotion. Some people say your heart, right? And then you got your spirit. I mean, this is a part of us that's like God. So when we get saved, our spirit is made perfect in the sight of God. Like Jesus' blood just covers our spirit. So like when God looks down on our spirit, he sees Christ's blood and he sees perfection. Because you have to be perfect to be in God's presence. So here's the deal. Like, so what, in this particular illustration, we see that our spirit is taken care of at salvation. We're good. God says no matter what you're struggling with, no matter what sin you did yesterday, God still sees you the same. You are a child of God. No matter what you're struggling with, no matter what's going on in your life, you are a child of God if you make that decision. Your spirit's good. The problem is, man, we still got that body. That body that want to lust. Body want to look at those girls, right? You got that body, right? You got that soul, that mind. That mind be taking you some crazy places, right? God says, hey, I want to make sure I deal with all of them, right? So salvation is really taking care of your spirit, but deliverance is taking care of your soul and your body. It's delivering you from the effects of the Egyptians. And man, I just pray that's for you, that's you and your life. Because, you know, in church culture, you know how we do it, right? We just focus on our spirit. Like, I'm saved. I'm good. Nothing's wrong with me. Come on, let's just be real today. Let's just kind of be real with each other. This series is about life together, and we want to do this thing together, but we got to be real before we can do life together. And the thing is that, hey, you may be saved in here, and God bless you. But God says, hey, I want to free your soul. I want to free your body from the traps and the bondage that this world has given you. And so here's a couple of things that I believe that God wants to do when it comes to this promise, number two, that I will free you, right? Here's what he wants to do. I believe, number one, he wants to give you victory over sin in your life, right? He wants to give you victory over sin. I believe in this word that we don't like talk about a lot. It's called holiness, right? It's called being other. It's called, like, look, being set apart from the world. I believe in that word, and God says, hey, I want to give you victory over sin and some of the mistakes and the things that you do to yourself. God says, I want to give you victory over that. And I believe that there's some people that are here today that are just struggling with sin. And let's just be real with each other, right? Number two, right, it says this. He wants to give us healing from our wounds. This is what others do to me, right? The Israelites, hey, they didn't just have issues that they were dealing with themselves. But they had issues. They were still dealing with the scars from the whips on their back from the Egyptians. They had lots of wounds from other people, right? And we all got Egyptian people in our lives. We all got some pharaohs in our lives that has caused us pain. I remember a few years ago, I went to a prayer meeting right here in our prayer room, and one of my elders in our church, Pat Hines, she began to pray with me. Said, Travis, I want you to be healed. I want God to heal you from all the wounds that other people have done to you. And I didn't realize how much that was keeping me back. I didn't realize how much those wounds were holding me back from me experiencing the second promise, for me experiencing that promised land that God had for me. And I promise you all, like, I just in that moment begin to cry and begin to weep because I just remember just all those wounds that people just kind of hurt me, like people that's close to me, my closest family members. I remember 2 days after that one prayer meeting, I made a call, a 305 number, back down to Miami. I called my father. I remember that conversation healing my heart, right? I just remember, like, just saying, you know what, hey, I know you weren't there, right? I didn't get to meet you until the first time. I was in ninth grade, but I forgive you. And in that moment, God began to bring healing from the wounds of the Egyptians. And I believe that there may be some people here, right? And let's just be real. Like, we live in this world, and Egypt is a rough place, and this world is a rough place. And people just hurts us, right? People causes us to have wounds in our lives. And God says in this second promise, hey, I want to heal you. I want to heal those wounds. And so not only does he want to give us victory over sin, he wants to heal us from our wounds, but number three, he wants to give us authority over the enemy, right? You know, like the enemy, we know his goal. His goal is he's prowling around like a roaring lion. He's seeking to devour you. Like, the Satan's goal every day is to destroy you, is to distract you, and is to discourage you, your life. That's what he wants to do every day. He wants to destroy your life. And so, and what this promise gives us, it gives us the authority by the power of the Holy Spirit to look that devil right in the face that says, there's no weapon that's formed against me that shall be able to prosper. This promise gives us the authority to look that enemy in the face and say, you know what, enemy? In Jesus' name, flee from me, right? We're able to look towards those strongholds that the enemy is setting up around us, all those distractions that the enemy is setting up around us. It's giving us authority over it. You know, we were looking at the survey questions that we kind of asked during Easter. And one of the most requested ones was spiritual warfare, right? Was the spiritual battle. Here's why. Because I believe there's a generation of people, there's a group of people that don't have the authority that God wants them to have over Satan by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to, I wish we could spend a whole series on that, right? We just teach you how to take authority over those strongholds, over that enemy. Man, I wake up every day, man, God, I come against any plan of the enemy. I cancel his plans in the name of Jesus Christ. And so this promise says, hey, I want to give you victory over sin. I want to give you healing. And I want to give you authority over the enemy. I want to make sure you got the power of the Holy Spirit over your life, right? Just be set free. So here's what Paul does, right? And I love this, right? Because Paul, like, we see way back in this, over here in this scripture in Romans 7, we see Paul dealing with this issue, right? Right, Paul is dealing with this issue that, hey, man, I got this issue, what I want to do, I don't want to do. Like, what am I going to do, right? Like, he's like, man, I don't know. And so a lot of times we use this as an excuse. I remember, because I knew this scripture growing up. I knew this passage growing up. Hey, what I want to do, I don't want to do. What I don't want to do, I end up doing. Like, I'm like, I guess I'm just going to sin, right? I use it as an excuse to sin. I use that as an excuse just to kind of do my own thing. But we forgot to read chapter 8. Because they don't stop there in chapter 7. In chapter 8, he gives us a solution. In chapter 8, he gives us the power. He gives us the freedom. And it's not what you think it is, right? It's going to be good. I like this passage. He says this in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. He says, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's how he starts off. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And I kind of knew that passage of scripture. I began to do a study on it. Meaning, here's what the real meaning of that passage is really saying to us today. Hey, if you're going to experience freedom from the pattern of sin and the enemy of sin over your life, you're going to experience deliverance, right? You must know that you got to be real. And you can't be walking in guilt. You can't be walking in shame. Because if you walk in shame and guilt and condemnation, then you can't be real to the people around you. And I just want to pastor you in this moment. Like, I had a cool illustration to give you in this moment, but I want to kind of go away from that. I want to show you, right? I want to convince you today, especially in Southern culture, like in Southern churches, like we have mastered the skill of putting up this fence around our lives. And we have mastered the skill of having a whole bunch of stuff going on at home, but we come to church and we put on a complete different person. All right? We have mastered that skill. I mean, you got mothers, right? I mean, my mom used to, like, literally, she'd take off her high heel shoe and throw it in the back of her car, and right, and on our way to church, and she would get out the car, put her heel on, like, hey, praise the Lord. Everything's all good. Right? Here's why. Because it's this culture of condemnation. It's this culture of, hey, I can't be real because I might feel shame. I might feel condemnation. I might feel just this guilt. And God says, if in order for you to find freedom in your life, there's no room for you to be fake. There's no room. You've got to be open. You've got to be transparent. You've got to be real. And I just pray against that. You know, long gone to the days of us just pretending when we come on to church and when we get dressed nice and we don't act like we don't have any issues. And I remember just, especially me, when I got into the ministry, right, and I started preaching and traveling and things like that. I thought that, hey, I wasn't supposed to have struggles and I wasn't supposed to make mistakes. I was a pastor. I was a person. And I just remember going to a conference years ago and it just touched my heart. Said, hey, yeah, you got issues, Travis. And it wasn't until I got real with my issues and with people around me, with my accountability partners around me, until I began to experience freedom because I was walking in that condemnation by being shameful and having guilt in my life. And I want to encourage you. In order for you to find freedom, it's time for us to be real. We got the issues. They're there. God save our spirit. Hey, we're not debating that. But our body and our mind is still there, and we got some stuff to work out. God says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I want to invite Pastor Brandon, if he's in here, to come up at this time. We're going to land this plane in a little bit. But not only does he stop there, but here's what he does. He goes to this next portion of Scripture, right? He says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that pleases the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting your spirit control your mind leads to peace and life. This is an abundant life. And I want to encourage you, right? Right? So what Paul is saying, if you can get your spirit, right? If you can get this right here, that if you can get this spirit so strong, it starts to influence your soul. It starts to influence what you think. It also influences your body. I tell people all the time, how you feeding your spirit today? How you feeding your spirit? Because here's the deal. If you can get that thing strong, it begins to be so strong, it begins to dictate where your soul and where your body goes. So part of deliverance is feeding your spirit. Spending time in God's presence. Man, I tell you what, there's nothing like spending time in God's presence. Like you getting along, your room is playing some worship music. You can just YouTube some worship music, right? Or you can just kind of get along and just quiet and just ask for God's presence to be there. God, would you just feed my spirit this morning before I start this day? Would you allow my spirit to be so strong that it shows my body and my soul where to go? Would you do so? But I love the scripture because it's saying like, hey, if you get your mind right, man, like everything else is going to follow, right? And I just love it because here's the deal. One of the things I know about this passage of scripture, I was talking to a mentor of mine who's been a pastor for over 45 years, has counseled thousands of people, and who's done ministry a long time. Here's what he said. I told him the scripture. I said, what do you think about it? He says, hey, check this out. In this scripture, if you get your mind right, you'll be good. And he says, the number one thing that you can do to get your mind thinking on the right things, and I was waiting for like a real spiritual thing. He says, be around good people. You want to hang out with negative people? Your mind going to think negative things. You want your mind to be thinking about the things of God? You want your mind to be thinking about being transparent and not having condemnation? Hang around with God's people. It begins to influence how you think. So here's the deal. Like in this promise number two, relationships is the key. It's the key. It's it. It's the venue that God uses to set you free. I love it because you were broken in relationships, in a relationship between you and the Egyptians and Pharaoh. You were broken in those relationships, but then God wants to establish another body, another people, another nation. He wants to start, he wants you to establish God's nation, God's priesthood, God's people, and he wants you to be healed from that nation and what they call you. So relationships is the key today, and I want to encourage you. We can be open with each other, man. We can experience the freedom that God has for our lives. We can experience it. I love it what Proverbs 28:13 says. The people who conceal their sins will not prosper. But if they confess their sin and turn from them, they will receive mercy. James 5:16 says, confess your sin to each other and pray for each other so that you can be healed. You may be healed in Jesus' name. Earnest prayer of the righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. I want to encourage you today. Man, we got to get into some relationships. We got to get into some relationships. Pastor Brandon and I, we keep each other accountable oftentimes. There's relationships. I'm hanging around. I'm getting closer. I'm hanging out with Pastor Sean. I'm hanging out with godly people. I got godly friends and mentors and people. Here's why. Because I know the more I hang out with them, the more my mind begins to think about the things of God. That's what happens. And so people say, hey, why do you put so much effort inside of small groups that we have at 8:30 a.m. and we have small groups at 9:45? Why you put so much effort in the small groups we have on Wednesday nights? Here's why. Because we believe that in those relationships, right, people will start to receive freedom. You know, the curriculum is good and the topic's good that we talk about, but the most important, the most free thing about our small groups is the relationships. And I just pray that every one of you can walk in them. I pray that every one of you can sign up and be a part of them. So there's a new association that God wants you to associate with, right? And there's three things I want to talk to you about just real quick. Some new associations and relationships that he wants you to have. The first one is this, water baptism. You know what water baptism is? Water baptism is like, I got this wedding band on, and what this does is this let you know of an inward commitment that I made with my wife. And what water baptism is an outward sign. You're saying, you know what? I have a new association now. I'm associating myself with Christ. I associate myself with Christ. And if you haven't been water baptized, well, I want to encourage you to sign up right now, right? We got one coming up in a few weeks on Anniversary Sunday. We would love to see you baptized. We would love to see you make that new association with God today. Secondly, it's this, church partnership, church membership. Here's what I know. There's over 30 scriptures in the New Testament that assumes that you're connected to a local church. And you can be connected to this church or another church in our area. Man, I tell you what, our city of Chesterfield and Richmond, we have some great churches here in our area. And you need to find a church that you want to give with, that you want to serve with, that you want to be on mission with, right? So I want to encourage you to make that new association today. If you haven't made that association, you want to make this your church home. We have some classes, a simple class called Next Step. You get to hear Pastor Sean's heart. You get to hear the vision of this church and where we're going and what we're going to look like in 10 years and what the mission and thing we want to do and the things we want to accomplish in our city. You get to hear that this upcoming Wednesday, 7 o'clock. It's called Next Step. You can sign up on your connection card, right? And lastly, it's this, small groups, right? I know people like small groups and, hey, I can do this thing on my own. I got my few little friends. I'm good. I want to encourage you to get part of a small group. We're a part of small groups. We meet. We're about to be in a small group here after church. Literally, after church today, we're going to be a part of a small group. We're going to a small group. Here's why, because we believe, even pastors, leaders, I mean, we don't got it together, and we believe that we don't got it together. So I know Pastor Brandon looks like he got it together because his hair is always perfect, and he has the perfect body structure. I can't stand him. He eats anything, and he don't gain a pound. I can't stand it. He ain't got it together, guys, all right? He's not perfect. He's sinful. He got issues. Hey, we got it. We're all in this boat. It's all in staying together. That's why I just want to encourage you to, hey, sign up for a small group. Hey, just 8 weeks. So you know what? I want to commit to a small group for 8 weeks and see what it is. Let's try this out. Hey, try it out. Hey, this is God's promise, right? This is God's word. Just try it out and see if it works. I believe it will. I believe those relationships that you engage in, and if you don't have condemnation, if you be open and transparent, I believe those relationships can heal you from the very thing that has you in bound right now. I believe it. Could you all close your eyes in this moment? I want to pray for two groups of people here today. I want to pray for the person in here. You say, you know what? Hey, Pastor Trav, this is good, but I've never experienced promise number one. I've never experienced salvation today. I've never given my life to Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I want to make that decision today. Say, you know what, God, I'm all in. I want to make that decision today. Say, you know what, God, I want you to bring me out, God. My situation may not look good, and I got a bad situation, and it's bad, but God, could you bring me out by the power of your salvation, Lord God? If you don't make that decision today, I want you to just kind of identify with me. I want to see your hands. Can you just lift your hands up real quick? Amen. I see that hand. Hand in the back. See a hand on that side. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, church. Can we give God a hand clap? Some people just made the best decision of their lives. I want to encourage you. Hey, we want to walk with you. We want to give you the process of how to take your journey from step one to step two. And so what you can do is sign your connection card. And when you sign your connection card, it's marking, hey, man, I just gave my life to Christ today. I just say I'm all in to God today. Come on, sign that for us so we can send you some free stuff to help you take you from one to two, right? I want to pray for another group of people. Can you all close your eyes just one more time today? Some of you, man, you're just struggling today. And I just believe that God wants to free you. God wants to touch you. Some of you bound today emotionally. Some of you got wounds that need to be healed. Some of you got addictions that no one knows about. No one sees. God says, I want to touch you today. This should be your day. I want to touch you by the power of His Holy Spirit. I believe His Holy Spirit is here today. That's you. Say, you know what, Pastor Travis, can you just pray for me? Can you slip your hand up just real quick? I see those hands all over. Praise God. Come on, God. Come on, God. You see those hands, Lord. Lord, you see those hearts, God. Come on, God. You see them, Lord. You see them, Lord Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I come to those people, God, right now, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you may free them, Lord God, that you may allow them to experience everything they have, God. God, I pray that you may touch them, that you may free them in the name of Jesus Christ, God. Would you allow them to find a group of people that they can be involved with, Lord? Lord, allow them to find that small group, find those groupies, find that church, find that place that they can be connected with, Lord God, so they can experience freedom, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for the sin, the struggle that no one knows about, and it's so embarrassing to tell people, God. It seems like there's no way that you can, it seems like no way, and Lord, the enemy has convinced them that they can overcome that struggle by themselves, Lord. They've been convinced. Lord God, would you just allow them to have this a moment of courage to be real with somebody else? A moment of courage, a moment of boldness, God, to say, you know what, God, broken. God, thank you, Lord, that we're all walking this out, Lord Jesus. Would you allow us to walk in your freedom today? Would you allow us to share this message to those around us in our homes and our workplaces that are struggling and who are bound? Allow us to share the message of freedom, the promise in what you have for us. Lord, we seal this service by saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you all. Walk in freedom. If you're going to sign a connection card, make sure you sign that connection card. Leave it right in front of you. See you next week. Invite some people with you. Talk about purpose.